Support for the Radio West podcast comes from Harmon's Grocery, with a selection of handcrafted party trays for Thanksgiving hosts as well as attendees, including everything from artisan cheeses to a variety of desserts.
The latest twist in the ongoing fight over redistricting and congressional maps came this week when 3rd District Judge Diana Gibson rejected a map drawn up by Utah lawmakers. The judge chose a different one, a map that seems likely to give Democrats in the state a rare advantage. And this all goes back to 2018 when Utahns approved Proposition 4. That's the ballot initiative that was supposed to make redistricting less partisan. And Prop 4 included an independent commission to review the process and make recommendations. But legislators argued drawing congressional maps is their job. It says so in the Constitution. The initiative was supposed to guide them, not take away their final say. So they drew up their own maps. And all of this brings us to Victoria Reed, a woman who lives in Mill Creek, who just happened to be looking at those maps sometime in 2021, and she noticed she could probably walk out of the door of her house and in no time at all walk through all 4 of Utah's congressional districts. And that didn't make any sense to her. If a congressional boundary is supposed to include communities of interest, that's the term that's in Proposition 4. A congressional boundary is supposed to keep communities of interest intact. Well, these boundaries weren't doing that at all. So she went on a walk. And in about 45 minutes, she got through all the boundaries as they had been drawn. And she found lines cutting straight through neighborhoods, along streets and property lines, dividing people who lived just a few houses apart. And what this told her was the maps that had been drawn weren't keeping actual local communities together. They were dividing them. This week, Victoria and her husband Malcolm recreated her walk with our producers Benjamin Bombard and Tim Slover.
Okay, so lead the way. Where are we going
to
go?
To the left.
All right.
Onward. I'm glad we got a nice day for this. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Look at how beautiful the fall colors are. Peaceful. Hear the birds.
So we are currently in Congressional District 2.
Yeah, we previously were in District 4, which had been a swing district, and they got rid of swing districts.
So we came from our house, we went east till we came to 20th East, and now we're walking south along the borderline between the congressional districts.
Does anything strike you as, like, special about why this line right here? We're kind of still just in a Mill Creek neighborhood. The houses look the same on both sides.
Frankly, by the standards of what we're going to see, this is pretty good.
Okay.
We're going to go here. This is where it gets interesting. We are about to go walking on private road. So over there, across the ditch, is one, and we are in 2 still.
We're just basically walking in people's backyards, more or less, right?
Correct.
Now.
Yeah.
I just wonder if the people on either side of this even understand that there is a congressional boundary going through their backyard. Now, ease yourself around here.
Yeah, continue straight through the gate here.
Yeah, I guess we'll go.
All right.
So what's going through your mind sort of at this point in the journey, maybe as you remember the first time you did it?
Disbelief.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have an expectation about politics that maybe a lot of people don't, which is I expect people to want to do the right thing, want to serve the people, and want to be fair. And that's just not what has been happening here.
So we're coming to 39th South.
Right. And across the street is the 3rd District.
This is the border here.
you tell us what we're looking at?
We're looking at the same irrigation ditch that we saw as we were walking south earlier, but now it goes underground. Now, at this point, this is the dividing line between District 2, District 1, and District 3 across the street.
We go all the way 120 miles west to the Nevada border and 350 miles south to the Arizona border, including St. George.
Right where you're standing?
Yes.
Okay, and where you're standing, what's your district look like?
The High Uintas.
Okay, and if we go over to District 3, if we were to jaywalk here.
It'd be Provo, Orem, and going down to Moab and further south.
In Blanding.
So this is ground zero.
Kind of. It kind of feels like
we
that.
We have one more ground zero. We have one more three-way up here.
Let's do it.
Interesting.
Okay, we got to be getting close here. Can we see it yet?
Yeah. There's
okay.
Iceberg.
There it is. Okay.
There's the iceberg, there's the 7-Eleven, and the Mad Greek on the other side.
Yep. Does he know what he wants? Malcolm, I just need a couple of pieces of yours, so just get a little bit more if you want, whatever.
I'll have a small dip cone.
I'll have the same, please. Yeah, thank you kindly. Sure. Appreciate it. I've got some cash for it. Yeah.
What did you learn in doing this walk?
We have a great community that deserves to be kept together. And the maps that the legislature drew are random. There's just really nothing that makes sense about how they ended up drawing them.
You know, the cynic says you can't fight City Hall. But what we've been able to see, when you get people of goodwill together who continue and persist, that you can make a genuine change.
I feel right is on our side, and I guess the optimist in me says the right should prevail. And so I feel like we've come a long way, and I think it will turn out for the best.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Well, Victoria and Malcolm, they sued the state, along with the League of Women Voters of Utah and Mormon Women for Ethical Government. They challenged the legislative maps and the process that produced it. A few months ago, Judge Gibson threw out the legislature's map, ordered them to draw a new one that follows the principles of Prop 4, and lawmakers did, and this week she rejected that map after an exhaustive process that included an evidentiary hearing that involved hours of expert testimony, hundreds of pages of documentation. The map the judge approved was the one actually drawn up by the plaintiffs in the lawsuit. Rather than divide Salt Lake County into all four districts, it mostly keeps it within one, a district the Salt Lake Tribune has said favors Democrats by about 17 points. So today in the program, we're talking about what happened, we're talking about what comes next, and whether this will change the balance of political power in the state. We have with us Robert Gerke of the Salt Lake Tribune and Martha Harris from our own newsroom. I should mention we spoke with them on Tuesday, just a few hours after Judge Gibson's ruling. We'll start with Martha.
I will say I was a little bit surprised just because it's so different than what we had before. Like, it's a big change. But I think, like, looking at her ruling, she really based her decision on this, the analysis from the expert witnesses in the case who said, you know, if you look at computer simulated maps, you know, this is like the natural response. This is what the map would look like, this one Democratic leaning district. So I was surprised and also kind of not surprised based on what we've heard from experts about kind of what a Prop 4 adhering map would look like in Utah.
What were you surprised, Robert?
Yeah, I think going into the hearing, I thought the natural inclination, the path of least resistance for Judge Gibson would be to accept the legislature's map and move on. Hmm.
You thought that might happen?
Yeah. But after sitting in through that hearing where you start hearing her talking about a more holistic view of the maps and whether these tests that the legislature implemented that we can talk about, whether that facilitates Proposition 4, which that's a keyword because the Supreme Court said the legislature can make changes to Proposition 4 if it facilitates the core mission of the initiative. So you kind of got the sense that she is looking for ways to not go with Prop C. I was surprised, though, that she ended up picking the map she did, because this is a map that does create this donut hole in northern Salt Lake County. Yeah. That's a very Democratic area. The analysis that we did said it favors a Democrat by about 17.5 points, potentially could be even more than that, frankly. But I thought that the likeliest outcome after sitting through that hearing was going to be that she was going to pick their other map, which was based largely on the map that the legislature had adopted with some tweaks here and there.
Map C?
It was based on Map C, yeah. But it made some the plaintiff's other map started with Map C and made some changes to different areas of the state and was slightly more Democratic than Map C, but it was also sort of a Solomon-like approach. Yeah. Split the baby. You know, nobody's going to be happy, but it is a workable map. She didn't do that, obviously, and so she picked this map that does create a very Democratic district, and I think she's taken some heat for that.
It's interesting because, Martha, you've talked to us anyway about something that struck you was that Judge Gibson had been clear all along, and she's said this, in fact, written it in one of her rulings anyway, that I don't want to do this. I don't want this to be my job. I don't want to be in this position. So you guys need to work it out. But the fact that she did put herself in that position, maybe that's all the more surprising.
Yeah, and I think that's part of what surprised me is like it seemed like I think there was this one hearing where she kind of made a little bit of a joking comment where she was just like, you know, if you guys could just – you know, follow this and I could just stand back. That sounds great. She was like a very reluctant to take this task. And I bet part of it was she knew the heat she was going to take for this. But also she said, you know, I understand the role of courts and judges. Like, we're not writing laws. And she's like, I don't want to have to step into this. If you guys just follow kind of what I've outlined, create this new map, great. But she did, you know, she even wrote this in her final ruling on Monday night. You know, I'm still a little bit reluctant to do this, but I'm not, you know, weighing policy by picking this map. I'm just following the law. Wow. And so we're getting to this point. We need a remedy in this problem, and I'm just going to follow the law, and we're going to implement this. And so I think that was it was a bold choice, and especially how reluctant she was to kind of be in this position of having to choose a map.
Yeah, I think this passage from her ruling, I think, kind of captures that. In short, Map C, the legislature's map, does not comply with Utah law. Because the Lieutenant Governor's November 10, 2025 deadline for a map to be finalized is upon us, the court bears the unwelcome obligation, I thought, to ensure that a lawful map is in place. And so she ended up choosing the plaintiff's map.
Let's back up and talk a little bit about the decision that she had to make. Would you guys set the stage for us for these evidentiary hearings? I mean, good for you for sitting through all of that. There's like 15 hours of academic expert testimony. You have thousands of pages of documents that the judge has to work through. Like, what were those like? And we can talk about some of the major themes, but maybe just set the stage for us.
Yeah, I mean, my brain and my backside still haven't recovered. it was really dense. And, you know, we probably have learned more about these topics than we ever thought we would need to. But, you know, the plaintiff's experts, Dr. Chen, University of Michigan professor, created 10,000 maps, used a computer algorithm to create 10,000 maps. And the legislature's experts used multiple computer algorithms to create 300,000 maps, I think, is what they ended up doing. Wow. And so, you know, it was sort of this competing, you know, whose maps are better, who made mistakes, who made false assumptions. And at the end of the day, when Judge Gibson issued her ruling, she made very clear that she put more weight in the plaintiff's experts and Dr. Chen's models than she did in the legislatures. But yeah, it was, you know, competing thematically. It was about, you know, what are the best tools to determine if something's a partisan gerrymander or not, and who whose map ensemble was most accurate and best represented these criteria. Because We talk about the partisan gerrymandering piece of this, but all of these maps also had to meet other criteria that were in Proposition 4.
Yeah.
They had to have equal population. They had to be compact, contiguous. They had to maintain communities of interest. And all of those standards become part of, you know, determining which map best represents those criteria. So there was a lot of talk about that too, and whether the other side's maps didn't meet that. And I think there was one moment that sort of stuck out to me, and that is when the legislature's expert was being cross-examined and they asked him how he produced this map C. Mm. And he took basically the map that the legislature had passed in 2021 and started making changes to it. But he was using this, it's called Dave's Redistricting app. And on that app, he had access to partisan data. It was displayed on the screen. And he admitted that it was displayed on the screen. He said nobody had told him not to do that, so he did it. That was kind of a big no-no. And Judge Gibson, you know, made that point several times in her ruling
yeah.
that, you know, Proposition 4 explicitly says that they're not to use partisan data. And Senator Sandel had repeatedly chastised, you know, the members of the public who submitted maps, and chastised the Independent Redistricting Commission for using, you know, potentially using partisan data in their maps. And so you ended up with this situation where the legislature's expert is kind of saying, yeah, I did, you know, but it didn't tell me anything I didn't already know. No, but the judge didn't buy that, I think, at the end of the day.
Will you help us understand the tests that Utah lawmakers used in drawing their map, their maps of the process? They came up with three specific tests. How did they end up with those? And what did the judge think of the fact that, okay, of all the tests you could do, lawmakers just picking three, in the end she said that didn't work. But mm-hmm. but can you say a little bit about these tests that lawmakers said should be applied?
Yeah, so I mean the law says in Proposition 4 to use the best available methods to test the maps.
Yeah.
And so then in response to that, lawmakers passed this law where they kind of codified these three tests. But the three tests are really anchored in what's called the partisan bias test.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the experts that I've talked to have said, you know, there's the partisan bias test, which I'll explain. I know it's a lot of words. Mm. But then the mean median analysis is kind of related to that. And then they also had this ensemble analysis where they create like thousands of maps. But those maps are culled based on the partisan bias test. So then you're cutting down the number of maps based on the partisan bias test. And with that, I'm saying partisan bias test a lot. But what the partisan bias test says is it creates this kind of hypothetical situation where, okay, let's imagine we have two parties in Utah and they each get 50% of the votes.
Yep.
Would they get that equal 50% of the seats? But what other academics have said is, okay, this test doesn't really work in states like Utah, where we don't have competitive elections. Like one party dominates so heavily in statewide elections. And what experts have found is that when you use these tests in Utah, they create kind of paradoxical results. So if you get a map that has
strange and paradoxical
strange,
results.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, was the language, but yes, keep going, sorry.
Yeah, no, but yeah, so if like you, let's say you have a map that gives you three Republican-leaning districts and then one favoring Democrats, through this test, most of the time it will say, okay, that's a Republican-favoring gerrymander, which doesn't make sense. But then if you have a map that has four Republican-favoring districts, that's deemed fair by this test. And so it just what Judge Gibson put in her ruling was that, you know, there's academics have said this before. It's even called the Utah paradox.
Yeah.
And she's like, academics have pointed out that using a test like this in Utah, it can be gameable. And that's why she said not only does the legislature's map C, does it favor Republicans, but she said, I think that was purposely done based on you guys selecting these tests that would give you more Republican favoring options.
So what did experts say on either side about what you do in a place like Utah, where you have an overwhelming political majority, but a large population center that is inclined to another kind of party? Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, what are the What are you supposed to do about that, do experts say? And they may not be in agreement, but what are they working out there? How do you make that fair?
Well, if we had five experts in the room, they'd have five right. different opinions, yeah, I think. Yeah. One of the things that Dr. Michael Barber from Brigham Young University said was that what you do is you look at all of the tests that you have in your toolbox and decide which ones are the ones that are best applicable to your specific situation and determine it from there. He said based on the test that the legislature chose that, yeah, the legislature's map passes. But he also, and Judge Gibson noted in her opinion, said that limiting it to those bright line tests and those that select group of tests wasn't the best way to do it necessarily. It isn't how he would do it as an academic, at least. So that, and again, that was the legislature's expert saying that. So I think that carried some weight, and Judge Gibson saw that carried some weight. The problem is when you have, political geography where you have a lot of blue voters and you have to try to get these other districts to balance out, you've got to start taking blue voters out of that district and putting them into these red districts, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the definition of cracking. There are two ways to gerrymander. You pack, you either put all of the voters into one district, or you crack, which is taking them out of one district and putting them in these others to dilute the Republican dominance in that district. Yeah. So the tests, and Judge Gibson said this in her opinion, were designed to mandate a four Republican district, a four Republican seat map, which is why she ended up saying these tests are not what we're going to use, and we're going to take a more holistic approach, which she did, and got where she got.
Robert Gerke, he's a politics reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune, along with Martha Harris, KUER's education reporter. They've been covering the redistricting story for us. We'll take a break. Come back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West.
Support for the Radio West podcast comes from Harmon's Grocery, with a selection of handcrafted party trays for Thanksgiving hosts as well as attendees, including everything from artisan cheeses to a variety of desserts.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today, we're discussing the latest and the ongoing story about congressional maps in Utah. This week, Judge Diana Gibson rejected a map drawn by Utah lawmakers and chose one that creates the first Democratic-leaning congressional district in the state in about 25 years. We've been breaking down the story with reporters Robert Gerke of the Salt Lake Tribune and Martha Harris of KUER. So the judge wrote that based on the evidence that was presented, the map drawn by lawmakers was drawn with the purpose to favor Republicans, and that it, as she put it, unduly favors Republicans and disfavors Democrats. But didn't she then pick a map that favors Democrats and disfavors Republicans?
I mean, yes, it favors Democrats and disfavors Republicans.
So how does she justify that?
Well, I think unduly is doing a lot of lifting there. because we were talking about the political geography, right? I think one of the things that came through to me during these evidentiary hearings was, Dr. Chen programmed his algorithm to be confined by the criteria in Prop 4. He's not splitting cities. He's not splitting counties. He's making his districts compact and contiguous. And as a result, his maps look a lot alike. You know, there's thousands of them that look very similar to each other. But that's because if you're applying the neutral criteria that are in Proposition 4, you end up with a map. You're setting the guardrails so tight that you end up with a map that looks like that. And so, you know, Judge Gibson said that based on the neutral criteria, it complies with Proposition 4 and doesn't unduly favor one party. Does it favor one party? Yes. As we mentioned, there's a 17-point Democratic advantage in that district. But that is a reflection of the political geography, where the Democratic voters, where the people vote blue. It includes Salt Lake City. It includes South Salt Lake, Mill Creek, the Cottonwood Heights, West Valley, Kearns Magna. So these are the blue parts of the state. And so, when you try to keep a county together and keep the district compact, that's how the voting trends are going to look.
What stood out to me in Judge Gibson's opinion was the word natural when she was kind of talking about some of these, you know, computer simulated maps where, you know, experts create thousands of maps so that they can, with these Prop 4 criteria, to kind of compare with their map of like, okay, does this make sense with like the natural, like what would a, you know, unbiased computer think of these criteria and create a map. And she said, you know, based on Dr. Chen's work with his 10,000 maps, like it naturally, with these strict criteria, creates this map where there's a district anchored in northern Salt Lake County that favors Democrats. And so I think there's an argument from lawmakers was kind of, oh, what the plaintiffs are saying is for a map to be fair, it has to have one Democratic district. And so that's gerrymandering. But then what the experts were saying, what Judge Gibson ruled was, no, that's just what makes sense based on this criteria is that we have that one Democratic district. So I think there's a big disagreement of kind of like what's natural or what are Utah, you know, congressional districts supposed to look like. And there's the lawmakers think, oh, that should be four Republican districts. But according to Dr. Chen, it should have probably one Democratic district.
Let's talk about the way Republican lawmakers are now reacting. We're still getting reaction from them. It's early on. By the time this airs, we'll probably have heard from more. Clearly, they're not happy, though. There's already been some reaction. Let me get your sense of what you're hearing. Well, on one hand, the idea that this is now a kind of a constitutional crisis, that there's a separation of powers that has been breached, where this is supposed to be the purview of the legislative branch, and you have a judge who has selected a district that's now on the ballot. The questions of whether or not this was judicial activism, all of those kinds of, what are you hearing at least right now? How fervent do you expect the reaction to be, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I will say I wasn't at all surprised by the response. I mean, what we've seen from previous judicial rulings over the past couple years of the legislature is not happy with the courts. There's been a lot of accusations of judicial activism over the past 2 years. So I was not at all surprised by the strong reaction from Republican lawmakers. I mean, I was surprised by how fast it was. You know, we got the ruling around just before midnight on Monday, and then I was like working my story. I'm like, oh, I'll go check social media, see if there's any reactions out yet. And we already have one Republican lawmaker saying, I'm going to file a bill to try to impeach Judge Gibson. So I think
this is Matt McPherson.
McPherson, yeah. And so I think it's just there's been a lot of, as expected, the state legislature is not happy. They think that Judge Gibson is a judicial activist and just that she's a judge shouldn't be allowed to do this, that this only the legislature should be able to have this type of say on a map.
Yeah, outrage, rinse, repeat. I think there's one of the things I think that needs to be noted is that Judge Gibson, we talked a little bit at the beginning about how she didn't want to be in this position. She had initially refused to reject the map, the original map that the legislature had proposed. It wasn't until the Supreme Court ruled that they'd violated the Constitution by repealing Prop 4 that she then got sent back down to her. And
it's one of the weird ironic twists
in this position.
Story.
Yeah, that she didn't embrace this, I don't think. But yeah, the Speaker and the President are saying it's judicial activism. The party of the chairman of the Republican Party says it's a constitutional crisis. He had a line that said, if she would like to make law, we invite her to step down from the bench and run for the legislature. And then the impeachment thing. I mean, we haven't impeached a judge in this state in history, to my knowledge, that I've been able to find. There was one who resigned amid articles of impeachment, but that would be kind of unprecedented. And it would be sort of unprecedented because – not because – if the judge was out, you know, drunk driving and crashed into a car or something like that, you know, that's kind of where impeachment comes into play. This is just a fundamental disagreement over policy and the law. And so that's kind of getting into some pretty uncharted waters. But I do think that effort to try to impeach the judge will probably get some momentum because the Republican legislators are really upset about this and think that at every turn the deck was stacked against them and they want their vengeance.
It's interesting now, lawmakers who were officially, at least legislative leadership and most Republican lawmakers, are sort of on record as saying they don't like the initiative process. They don't think it's constitutional or proper. It undermines their sort of role. But they're going to have to go to that process, or the Republican Party is going to that process to create this initiative to repeal Proposition 4 entirely. What's going to happen there? Any ideas of the development of that part yet?
It's hard to know. They haven't really started gathering signatures yet. And so the legislature, because they do not like the initiative process, has made the initiative process very, very cumbersome and difficult. And so, you know, are they going to run into the same buzzsaw that the legislative that Republican legislators have created in trying to keep initiatives off the ballot? It's hard to get one on the ballot. It's why we don't see it very often. But if, you know, the Republican Party has considerable resources and a lot of people who can sign these, and so I guess we'll wait and see where this one ends up next year. The thinking, though, is that if the Supreme Court says you can't undo an initiative through legislative action, they need to go this route so they can undo initiative through an initiative action. It's not going to be easy.
Let's say this happens. Seems like, you know, it seems like it might. I mean, the lieutenant governor said she's going to comply with Judge Gibson's order. So how does it change the political landscape of Utah to have – I won't jump too far ahead, but it seems like a good possibility of having a Democratic member of Congress once again. It's one seat, I know, but how are you thinking about the larger question of what that might mean?
It's the first time, really, that we've had a district that leans toward a Democrat since you go back to the Wayne Owens days, yeah. Right? Jim Matheson won in a Republican district. Ben McAdams won in a heavily Republican district. And so in that sense, yeah, it's a seismic shift. You know, there hasn't been a district that has favored Democrats in decades.
So what are you expecting now? And we may know this by the time this airs. Will lawmakers appeal this now to the state Supreme Court, possibly the U.S. Supreme Court? I'm not sure how that would work. But and is the fact that this is blatantly Democratic seat, does that make this more vulnerable for a response to that kind of a challenge? Like, what are you guys expecting at this point now?
Yeah, I would love to have a solid answer on that right now. I mean, you know, but right before we started recording, we got a statement from legislative leadership, you know, kind of just saying what we expected, that they're disappointed by this, but they didn't answer the kind of the big question of, okay, what are you going to do next legally? Are you going to appeal it? The lieutenant governor has said, you know, she's anticipating that there will be an appeal, but she'll, you know, comply with this map unless a court decides otherwise. So I am expecting that there's probably going to be some appeal to the Utah Supreme Court. But, you know, I'm kind of just speculating on kind of what would happen next. And I mean, I think if this map were going to be stopped, that would really interfere with next year's election. That would be pretty messy. So I'm not sure what would happen there. But I think it's hard for me to imagine the, you know, Utah Supreme Court, if they get this appeal before them, to kind of stop the map, because they've already ruled that the legislature has overstepped its bounds in the past. Like, I don't see them really siding with the legislature in this case and saying, oh yeah, let's give you guys an emergency stay to get rid of this map.
I'm inclined to agree with that. I mean, the legislative leadership has said that they disagree with Judge Gibson's earlier rulings and plan to appeal them when the time is right. I guess the time might be right now. But as Martha mentioned, the Utah Supreme Court's already ruled against them, and ruled against them on Amendment D, their attempt to repeal their previous decision on Prop 4. And it ruled – it declined to hear their earlier appeal of this case. So it's hard to see that a unanimous Supreme Court would do a complete 180 based on this one ruling. I mean, they've already made pretty clear where they are. And Judge Gibson, I think, to her credit, in her opinion – really tried to make it bulletproof, you know, made sure that everything that she was saying is backed up with data and facts and evidence. And so I think it's likely that they will appeal, but I don't think that's going to be very successful. And then an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court over the federal election issues. The U.S. Supreme Court's kind of tried to stay out of some of these partisan gerrymandering battles, you know, kicking them back to state courts as much as they can. And I think especially given the heightened profile of these redistricting battles in as many states as it's happening, I think they'd be really reluctant to get in the middle of that. So I don't think they have much of a shot there. But, you know, I don't anticipate that the legislature is going to just walk away without at least trying to appeal to the Utah Supreme Court on this one.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Robert Gerke, he covers politics for the Salt Lake Tribune. We also had with us Martha Harris. They've been covering the redistricting story for KUER. Now, not much has changed since our conversation. Governor Cox has said he fully supports an appeal of Judge Gibson's ruling, but the legislature hasn't filed one yet. Officials are moving ahead to implement a new map, unless an appeals court blocks it, of course. And lawmakers, they're still talking about impeaching Judge Gibson. We'll take another break. Come back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West.
Support for Radio West comes from listeners like you. Become a member at KUER.org.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're working through the latest news in the ongoing saga over congressional maps in the state. Third District Judge Diana Gibson this week rejected a map drawn up by Utah lawmakers, and she chose a different one, one that was drawn by the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, a district that gives Democrats a clear advantage. Speaking of Democrats, those in the House and Senate issued a statement saying they felt a deep sense of relief and hope after the ruling. As for Republicans, they're pretty outraged. They've called it an act of judicial activism, an act of arrogance, and political gerrymandering by the judicial branch. Earlier this week, we talked with Republican State Senator Scott Sandel. He was co-chair of the legislature's redistricting commission when lawmakers redrew those boundaries in 2021.
I'm disappointed and amazed that Judge Gibson would somehow take upon herself to adopt a map that doesn't follow Proposition 4, nor is it allowed under the Constitution. And I'm perplexed under what authority she actually picked a map that one person drew, no debate, no public input, and said this is what the map we're going to use.
The judge wrote this, based on the evidence presented, Map C, the map, of course, that you and your colleagues came up with, was drawn with the purpose to favor Republicans, and it unduly favors Republicans and disfavors Democrats, so it doesn't comply with the law. Your reaction to the idea that it unduly favors Republicans?
Yeah, well, the map she picked unduly favors Democrats. She gerrymandered a seat. In fact, she gerrymandered all four seats. Now you have one seat that's plus 17 for Democrats, and the rest of the state are all plus 20 or better Republicans. So that's my take on that, is the end of all of this. This is a political process, and the people that proposed this didn't like the outcome, so they attacked the process until they got the outcome they wanted.
Senator, you said that you were amazed by the ruling in the sense that it just doesn't follow the ideas of Proposition 4.
Yeah, I see nowhere in Proposition 4 that it allows for the plaintiffs to submit a map and a judge to select the map. That's never contemplated in Proposition 4. I don't know where she grabbed that idea.
So you concede the idea that Proposition 4 is in play, that you, lawmakers, should follow the ideals of Proposition 4.
Well, according to her ruling, that's what we were doing, was following Proposition 4. And so the only option that I would see for her to do would be to say, legislature, you missed by X, Y, and Z in the map you proposed, and I'm sending it back to you. You have to redo it with these changes. I don't see any reason why she or any authority that she's been given to choose a different map. It's a legislative function.
Yeah. Well, I want to get to that separation of powers question here in a second. But just to be clear, Republicans haven't been crazy about Proposition 4. I mean, you have found it to be vague, I think, is one of the words used.
Yeah. But I want to back up something, because this is something that doesn't get talked about. When Proposition 4 passed, narrowly passed, in 2018,
yeah,
Better Boundaries came to the legislature and said, we realize Proposition 4 has some problems to it. It may be unconstitutional, even, was the word they used. The legislature worked with Better Boundaries and in bipartisan fashion passed Senate Bill 200. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the legislature didn't come in and just change this. This was a bipartisan effort to make a initiative fit. And somehow it has been construed that the legislature just arbitrarily changed Proposition 4. Well, we did not. So then fast forward, and Proposition 4 was a process. Well, the process that was agreed to did not yield the outcome that Better Boundaries and the other plaintiffs wanted. So they sued on the process again because they didn't like the outcome.
So could you sort of talk a little bit about the process that you went through to come up with your own map? Map C. So Prop 4 says this. It says the legislature and the this independent commission, they have to use the best available data and scientific and statistical methods, including the measures of partisan symmetry. And based on that, so you followed that ideal. Based on that idea of including these measures of so-called partisan symmetry, you came up with this test. So just take us through how you were thinking about this test you wanted to apply to create this map.
Yeah, the judge actually asked the legislature to come up with a test,
yeah.
And then she put a stay on it. But partisan symmetry is not proportionality. Symmetry is that each district is similar to another district. Proportionality would be what the map says now. That is, if you have 30% or 25% of your population who wants to vote for one party, they should get one seat. That's proportionality. And that was never in Proposition 4. The voters who voted in Proposition 4 were not voting for proportionality. They were voting for symmetry. It's in the language. So the legislature found the symmetry tests, the best symmetry tests, and applied them, which was what we were instructed to do.
But how do you account for the idea of symmetry in a state that is so heavily tilted toward one particular party? Because critics are saying the
symmetry is not proportionality.
Yeah.
Symmetry is making the district symmetrical. And that's what symmetry does. It's a pass or a fail test. And quite frankly, the map that the judge picked failed the partisan symmetry test when it was applied.
Let's talk about the map that she chose, the map that amazed you that she chose. The judge said it was based on policy, not on policy, that is, but on law. It makes this district of the northern part of Salt Lake County. It splits Utah County into these, you know, divisions, eastern and western divisions. I guess, but the thing that's most apparent about it is it gives the edge. I think that's an objective way of saying it to Democrats. Is that how you describe it?
Oh, it's gerrymandered. Just call it what it is. It's a plus 17 for the Democrats. This is a partisan play.
How do you respond to the idea that I'm not sure where this fits in your argument about proportionality versus symmetry, but just the argument that it's been a quarter century since a Utah congressional map had a district that did lean toward a Democrat. It just in the idea of public fairness, giving Democrats a shot at all of this. What's wrong with that?
Well, I'm going to fall back to the process. There was a process that was laid out to redistrict in the Constitution. Hmm. There was a process that the courts ruled changed, and Proposition 4 was the law of the land. And now we're trying to create an outcome and do away with the process. Even your question would say, why is it important? Well, I'm just ready to follow the process. And quite honestly, everybody from the other side was like, well, you've gerrymandered a map that a Democrat can never win. You've gerrymandered. Well, the definition kind of a gerrymander is a map that you don't like. You just call it gerrymandered. But wholly and truly, a gerrymandered map is one that's done for political purposes that only one party can win. And that's what we have in Salt Lake County right now.
But isn't that what you were doing?
No, I don't think so at all. When you fall back to 25 years ago, when there was just a circle in Salt Lake County, I've talked to enough congressional people who were very concerned that that representative only was concerned about what happened in Salt Lake County. Mm-hmm. And they were concerned about what happened on public lands. And they were concerned about what happened in rural Utah. And it became very evident that that was important. And so when we began the process in 2018, that was one of the legislature's primary concerns, is to say, you know what? All of the water we use in these urban areas comes off of public lands. Our people recreate on public lands. We need a foothold of each congressional district in urban and rural Utah to be able to represent what really makes Utah. And that is, we are unique in such a concentrated urban area where everything else around us is federal lands. And that was lost. That concept was completely lost in what the judge has done.
I guess I want to come back to something we had talked about earlier last time we were discussing this question, and it was the language in the Constitution, which says all political power is inherent in the people. And all free governments are founded on their authority for the equal protection and benefit, and they have the right to alter or reform their government as the public welfare may require. And you could apply your own interpretation to that, it seems, Senator, on this question of redrawing boundaries and also on the initiative process. So how is that just the purview of the legislature, at least given that language in the state constitution?
Well, one, we have conflicting constitutional items here, because we have an article that states that the legislature shall divide.
Right. Redrawing the boundaries is a shall, yes.
Yeah. So the court now has interpreted that people's voice will override that. Now, do the people come back and then speak and say, no, we think this is somewhere different, and we don't think that an initiative should be untouchable by the legislature? We think that the citizens can propose laws and pass laws, but we would assume that our representatives would have the ability to change those, or are we going to allow initiatives to become basically constitutional amendments? That's the question that we're going to have to ask and answer in the public.
So given your conflicting opinions about the initiative process, are you guys sure you still want to gather signatures for an initiative to repeal Proposition 4?
So let's again clarify something here. The legislature has never been part of this process of gathering signatures.
Yeah. It's a Republican Party.
That's a question you got to ask for those who initiated the petition, because I simply don't have an opinion on that.
That's
up to them.
Your party does.
Yeah, and you'd have to ask the party leaders and those that signed the petition.
Because you feel conflicted about it. It sounds like the party's doing that. I'll let them do that, but
I support their effort, because I think Proposition 4 is a poor way to redistrict. I think that's been shown. I think what we've seen is confusion and chaos in trying to take politics out of a purely political process of redistricting, including the U.S. Supreme Court has said that politics is politics, and we're not going to rule on any kind of gerrymandering in any ruling across the United States, simply because it is a political process. They've recognized that. to try to form an independent redistricting commission that somehow we feel like is going to be completely insulated from politics is a fool's errand.
I don't mean this to sound snarky, but this sounds like you're not crazy about the initiative process, but this you'll make an exception for this one.
I'm just saying, if that's the rules of the game, and that is the rules of the game, if that's the way you have to undo Proposition 4, then yes.
So what do you do? Will you appeal it to the U.S. Supreme Court? If I'm not even sure that's an option. I suppose it could be. What are you thinking now?
I'm thinking it's too early to make that prediction. And I think there's going to be some internal discussions, and we've got to look at what options are. We got to keep all the options on the table.
Senator Sandel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator Scott Sandel, he represents Utah's Box Elder, Cache, and Tooele counties. So far, lawmakers have yet to file an appeal of Judge Gibson's ruling. Governor Cox has said he supports the effort if they do. In the meantime, state officials are moving forward to implement the new congressional map. Radio West is a production of KUER. You can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on YouTube at KUER90.1. You can email us at radiowest@kuer.org. The program is produced by Benjamin Bombard and Tim Slover. Carrie Watson is our executive producer. I'm Doug Fabrizio.